Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited about today's topic, how to experience the Sabbath. We've got an amazing teaching in the Word of God about Sabbath, but how do we experience it as God intended? We're learning lessons for life in this series, and how to experience the Sabbath will be a blessing, I'm sure. We're glad you're with us, and welcome to the team. Good to be together again. Folks are looking and saying, where did the other seven go? And the answer is, we're in a pandemic and we've got social distancing. But hasn't God blessed in spite of the challenge?
Amen.
And
Amen.
We're glad that you've been with us on that journey. Maybe you're locked in your home or you've got a mask on somewhere. But we're glad that the Word of God is not silent during these challenging times.
Amen.
In fact, we're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. And here's just a few notes. John writes to us from South Sudan. And John writes and says, my name is John. I started watching Hope Sabbath School in 2019. That year, I'd been struggling a lot with my life. I'd lost my way in almost everything. And I'd succumbed to a lot of bad things. That time I wanted total transformation in my life. And one day I thought I'd look for some Bible teaching on the internet and I found Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Praise God. Someone's looking for hope. It was a series that brought a total relief to my heart. Since that day, I watch Hope Sabbath School every week.
Amen.
Even sometimes I watch the same study several times.
Wow. Amen.
My life has turned around for the best. May God bless you all. It's my prayer. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Amen. John, thanks for writing to us from South Sudan. That's really a wonderful testimony. Well, here's an old-fashioned note from a donor in Washington State. In the United States of America, says, just a short note to tell you what a blessing Hope Sabbath School is for us. We look forward each week to welcome the Sabbath with our study hour with you. We really enjoy the group input. I guess that's the word interactive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The various translations you read from and the testimonies and perspectives. May God continue to bless your ministry in these trying times. And they sent a gift of $200 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
We just want to say thank you for partnering with us. A note from Jeanette in Trinidad. Trinidad, that's the twin islands of Trinidad and Tobago, right? I enjoy Hope Sabbath School very much. My husband and I watch your program every Friday night. We enjoy the interactive discussions. May God bless you, and may you continue doing the Lord's work. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Jeanette, thanks for writing to us from Trinidad. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Now, I've got a card I have to show you here. This is a handmade card, and I'm going to hold it up. I don't know if anyone can see that, but it says Hope Sabbath School. It's kind of made with cutout letters. And inside the card, which is a handmade card, thank you for your ministry. I'm truly blessed by Hope Sabbath School. I've been watching since the Lord and Savior called me back home.
Wow.
November 2018. Amen?
Amen.
Now, called me back home means I'd been wandering, and I came back to the Lord. God has truly blessed me. It's a privilege to donate for sharing the gospel and a gift of $500.
Praise God.
Not only a beautiful card. I just want to pause and thank each one of you. Maybe you've never supported Hope Sabbath School before, and you say, I want to partner in this mission. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and just click on the donate button and say, I want to partner in this mission. And what a beautiful testimony. The Lord has brought me back November 2018, and wanting to be a part of the mission. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Well, here's one last note. Oh, it's also from California in the United States. And Liliana writes and says, hello, Hope Sabbath School friends.
Hello.
I live in Central California, where the best fruit and vegetables are grown. I've been watching for several years, and I've gotten to know you all. I have my favorites, but I won't mention your names because, like a grandma, I want every child to feel special. But I want to share with you, I was reading in my devotional this morning, and I read Colossians 3:16. And as soon as I read it, I began to sing that Hope Sabbath School song, "Let the Word of Christ Dwell in You." And she sang it. She said, and I was so heartwarmed, I had a smile on my face all day. Well, Liliana, you've been watching Hope Sabbath School for some time, got to know the team. We're glad you're part of our family. In fact, we'd like your help to sing our theme song right now. It's taken from Proverbs 19 and verse 20. We can't sing here because of the restrictions, but we'd like to hear you sing. Let's sing it together right now.
Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise. You may be wise in your latter days. You may be wise in your latter days.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you. We're talking about listening to counsel and receiving instruction. Today, learning not just about Sabbath, but learning to experience the Sabbath as you intended. May the Holy Spirit guide these lessons for life, that not only we would be blessed, but we would have a clearer testimony to share with those around us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're starting our study on learning to experience the Sabbath. Someone might say, oh, I've heard of that. Where does that come from? Well, let's start in the beginning. Sabina, could you read from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3? The end of the creation account. This is now the seventh day of creation. And what does the Bible say?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
Now, every day was good. In fact, I think on the sixth day it said it was very good, right? That's when our first parents were created. So this is their first full day. And only one day, though, he blessed. He blessed the seventh day and set it apart as a time, a special time. So what do you think the Sabbath meant to our first parents? It was their first full day together. Anybody? Have you imagined what that was like, Gladys?
It was probably very special because they spent the whole day with God. And just, I guess, God was their tour guy, you know, showing them the garden, teaching them everything, spending time talking. Maybe they had a lot of questions. I think it was a special day.
Later, we'll read in Exodus that we labor for 6 days and then the Sabbath we rest, right? Yeah. But they had not had any labor at all, really. Yeah. It was their first day, Pedro.
Well, we see that Adam named the animals before Eve was created. So he had some work on Friday.
A little bit of work.
but definitely it was a new experience. And it was a wonderful day with God.
It must have been a beautiful day with God. And that was God's plan all along. Stephanie, take us to Exodus chapter 20. It begins with a significant word because it seems by the time that Moses brings the Ten Commandments, some people have forgotten something important. Let's see how it reads in Exodus 20, beginning with verse 8.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Now, I was reading just recently, within the past couple of weeks, where someone said the Sabbath did not exist before Sinai. But what do you hear in that commandment that clearly tells us that the Sabbath existed long before it was given on tables of stone? Gladys?
It says, remember. So when you remember, it's something that was said before.
Okay. Of course, there were also miracles that pointed out which day it was with the manna falling. You remember that. What else makes it very clear this didn't just come up, you know, what are we, 1,400 years before Jesus, the time of Moses? Pedro.
The creation account is mentioned here in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Yeah. It's referring back to remember when I created you.
Yeah. And not only 6 days made heaven and earth, but...
He rested.
It quotes Genesis chapter 2, right?
He blessed it.
It's like, yes, Stephanie?
That it he blessed and sanctified.
So it seems very clear, and no wonder he would say remember.
Yeah.
It seems very clear the Sabbath was something from the very beginning.
Yes.
Now, I want to ask a question, and then we're going to talk about how to experience it. Did you all grow up in a family where you knew about Sabbath?
No.
Some of you are going, yes. Sabina, tell us your experience.
Well, I grew up in a family, that was not Adventist. So we didn't have the habit of keeping the Sabbath. I became a Seventh-day Adventist later on in my life. So that's not an experience that I had as a child.
So Sabbath, when you heard that word back when you were little, what did it mean to you?
Yeah. To be honest, Pastor Derek, it came later in my life when I heard about people that would keep the Sabbath. You know, even being part on my teenagers of a church that was a Christian church that was, you know, centered in the Word of God, still it was not something that really I would think much about. So for me, it's a blessing. Keeping the Sabbath is so wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a gift from God. And it changed so many things on my perception, even about God's grace towards me and, you know, His purpose for us all. So it's really, truly a blessing, special to me.
And that's what we're going to talk about in our study, is how to experience the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But some of you grew up with the Sabbath. Did anyone grow up where it wasn't really a great time for you, or you grew up with not such a positive attitude? It was just something that you did every week. Or did you grow up in a family where the Sabbath was a blessed time? Stephanie?
I think it was a mix. Okay. Because when we would have friends over for a fellowship meal at our house, that was great and we enjoyed that time, but we knew that there were certain things that we did during the week, you know, outside and playing games, certain games. We wouldn't play those on Sabbath. Mm-hmm. So we felt we were kind of waiting until the sun went down so that we could have fun in our version of fun. Mm-hmm. So honestly, that was my perception as a child. I enjoyed, you know, having friends around and having a special family and friend time, but there were things that we would have liked to do that we felt kind of restricted.
So maybe there's some maturing that happened through the years as you came to understand what we're going to study about today. Gladys?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was just like Stephanie, like a mixture. But my parents always made it very fun. You know, they had activities for us in the afternoon. We will go for walks. You know, we'll just go to a hill or a river, you know, and just walk around. Of course, we were not allowed to get in the water, just like Stephanie said. You know, for us, it's like if you get your knee high, you know, the water, then you're sinning. So you cannot get in the water. So we couldn't swim, but we could walk around and spend time with the family. So for me, as a child, it was a mixture because I was confused. I was like, okay, why can we go to the river, but we cannot get in it? Why can we go to the beach and not swim? So to me, we're just like, why can't we just do both? So part of the fun as a child was kind of like weird.
And maybe a lot of people just need to understand the true blessing of Sabbath, what it's really all about. Everybody's got your hand raised here. Let's go to Jason, and then we'll go to Stephanie and Sabina.
So for me, Sabbath was interesting because there was a period of time when my parents, for Sabbath, they were just kind of tired from like all the church activities. So they would just want to take naps and everything in the afternoon. And I would be sitting home and I'd be kind of bored. So what ended up happening is I would go and spend time with some of my friends' parents, and we would do outdoor activities and go for walks and have Bible games. And then for me, Sabbath became a whole lot more meaningful because for me, I've never really liked taking naps that much. I'd much rather do something. And so for me, by having the church friends, that gave me a much more enjoyable experience on the Sabbath.
Okay. You had some other hands raised, Stephanie.
I do think it's that maturing, though, because I know that back then, compared to now, my relationship with God is different. Mm. And so when I look at the Sabbath now, this is spending time with a friend. Mm. And it's I call it my date every week. Mm-hmm. You know, 24 hours that I get to be free from everything else that I do during the week. So it's a change of perspective on the relationship that I have with God.
Sure. Sabina, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking, I was taking some time here reflecting how I felt about the Sabbath when I first started observing people who would keep it before me becoming Adventist. And I think that probably some people who are watching us will identify with the fact that I actually thought this was an indication of legalism. So because a misunderstanding that I have about the Bible and even about the Sabbath, what it was in itself, for me, it sounded like people that I saw keeping the Sabbath, including Seventh-day Adventists and Jewish people, there was something that appeared to me to be wrong and legalist about it. So I just wanted to share also that.
And it's possible that it could be, right? Yeah. That somehow we think we've got to do certain things and not do other things so that God will love us.
Yeah.
When we get to the mature place of going, no, we've got this special time because we love God and He loves us. I've got to move to three areas, if we can. The Sabbath is a time of blessing, a time of healing, and a time of fellowship that totally revolutionizes the way we will experience Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Let's start talking about the Sabbath as a time of blessing. Think back in Exodus 16 to the experience of the children of Israel. And let's look at verses 1 through 4, Jason. What blessing came to the children of Israel that also reminded them about this special day. What do you read in Exodus 16, 1-4?
And I've got the New King James Version here. It says in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1-4, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not.'"
Now, if you keep reading in Exodus 16, by the way, I'm thinking they must have got strange memories. They were slaves back in Egypt. Yeah. They sound like they were at a party or something, you know, like we had everything we wanted and lots of good food. They were slaves in Egypt. But God is not going to argue with them like, "What are you talking about?" He's going to show them that he will provide for them. Mm-hmm. And you can read it in verses 15 to 25, but just describe this bread from heaven comes. They look at it and they go, "What is it?" That's what the word manna means. Right? Yeah. What is it? And tell us how it came. Did it come like once a week? Or Pedro, how often did it come?
Oh, it came every day from basically Sunday to Friday, or every day of the week. But on Friday, it came as a double blessing. So God instructed them to collect for that day and to save for the next day, because it will not come on Sabbath.
And so it was a way of clearly identifying which day God had blessed as a day for them to rest. And several miracles happened with that, right? Do you remember what, Pedro, you want to keep? Because all of the other days, if they tried to keep more, it would go bad, right?
Well, basically, every morning there was like in the dew, the manna will be on the floor and it will collect it. And by the sun rise, they will melt away. But people who kept it for the next day, it will become spoil. But on the Sabbath was the only day that they kept it and it was good. And some people thought that it was going to be spoil and they did not collect. It came out and there was nothing to collect.
So the Friday or the sixth day. Double provision. They'd have enough for that day and it would keep over to the next day. So all they had to do on the day that God had blessed was to
enjoy it,
right? Yes. And to worship.
That's right.
It was a special time. Now, that understanding is reinforced in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, that the Sabbath is actually meant to be
a delight.
A delight, a time when we rejoice in God's blessings. Let's take a look in Isaiah chapter 58. Stephanie, it looks like you have it there. Verses 13 and 14.
All right. And the New King James Version says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken."
It's interesting. Did you hear that? Not only call it a delight, but you will delight yourself in the Lord. That idea. Now, so a person says, "Well, I'm not finding it to be a delight." Well, go back to your experience, Jason. If I'm not finding the Sabbath as a delight, then what? Then I'm not experiencing it the way God desires.
That's right. Yes.
He wants it to be a wonderful time. So I can ask, okay, what's hindering that? Is it the legalistic attitude that Sabina talked about? Is it maybe some things happening in my family that need to be rejuvenated so the Sabbath becomes a delight, a joyful time? Look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Mark 2 and verse 27. Jesus, of course, claims that he's Lord of the Sabbath, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Mark 2, Pedro, if you have that, verse 27.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Mark 2, 27. And it says, "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath."
God didn't say, I've got this day that I'm going to require everyone to keep. Now I'll make some people and force them to keep it. No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He created people and to bless them, he gave them
Sabbath.
A special day
to
commune with him and with each other, right? Mm-hmm. He said, it was made for you.
Yeah.
Now, think about that in terms of, okay, does that mean just I'll be blessed on Sabbath? Or if the Sabbath is a time of blessing, is it also a time for you to bless other people?
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah.
Pedro?
I like what it says here in Mark, because it continues and says, who is the Lord of the Sabbath? You know, sometimes, oh, God made for me, so I'll do what I want. But God says in the very next verse that, therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath, meaning that that's the day of the Lord for us to enjoy with him. And there's no better way to enjoy the day with the Lord than to do his will. And one of the things that we cannot give anything to God. You know, God has everything. He's the giver. And the best way that we can enjoy time with God is by doing what he does best, is to give and spending time with others, give love to each other, share time together is a way of giving a joy, a smile to the face of Jesus.
So can you think of a Sabbath? And I like what you said, Stephanie, earlier. It really is a maturing in our understanding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's not just checking off boxes, but saying this is a special day of blessing with God, that I want the blessing of God to flow through me to other people who might not even know, right?
Yeah.
They might not even know that it's a special blessed day.
Yeah.
Can you think of a time where God poured blessing through you on a Sabbath to bless someone else?
Hmm.
Yes, Gladys.
Well, one time I was visiting a friend of mine in Sweden, and being born and raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and growing up in a very, I wouldn't say legalistic, but very strict kind of observance of the Sabbath. My mind was, you know, there are certain things that you can and cannot do. So that Friday night, he had her father had a big farm. And while he was trying to feed the cows, his fingers got cut in the machine and one of them got chopped off.
Oh.
So we had to go to the hospital and we spent almost a whole night there. So early in the morning, when we came home like around 3 or 4 in the morning, like at 5 in the morning, my friend woke me up and she said, we have to go and feed the cows. And I looked up at her and I said, but that's work and it's Sabbath. And she said, but my father cannot. He's still in the hospital. We have to go and feed the cows. And if we don't feed them and let them out, that's going to be a huge problem for the cows and the farm. So I was in struggle, inner struggle. And she said to me, what is more blessed, that we help or that we cause damage? Because her father was not Adventist, you know. And I say, you know what? We're going to be a missionary today. So I got up, I put on the suit. And I tell you, when her father came home, the smile on his face, because he really thought these Adventist girls are not going to do anything on the farm today. And he was so happy that he said, I want you guys to sing to me while I rest my head because I'm in so much pain. And it was just such a blessed Sabbath, different than any I had ever had.
Now, that doesn't mean we go work on the farm every Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
Is there a Bible text that comes to your mind, though, as you think about that situation? Stephanie?
Well, if the ox had fallen in the ditch on the Sabbath, you would pull him out and you'd lead them to get water on the Sabbath, your cattle. And so that's, we feed ourselves. And we take care of our needs, so.
Jesus will actually say it's good to do good,
yes.
on the Sabbath. That that was an emergency situation.
Yeah.
And what were you doing by helping in that situation? What were you doing?
Blessing them.
You were letting the blessing of Sabbath flow through to those people. Now, some people do view the Sabbath as a burden. Oh, you know, can't do this, can't do that.
Yep.
How do we help them, Stephanie, to mature to the place where they say, oh, God just wants this to be the most special day of the week, a time of great blessing, and a time, like Pedro said, to bless others.
Well, I had written down that I bring them in as part of our Sabbath experience. Yes. Let them experience the Sabbath as a joyful time where you can enjoy your time out in a park or walking along the beach, enjoying God's nature, and help them to see that it's fun to spend time with God and be out in His nature.
Let them not only hear the theory of it being a blessing, but actually experience it. Okay?
And just to kind of tag on to that, not necessarily say this is what we don't do, but just show them what you do do.
Right.
And show them the positive and the things that they'll see that you just, there's certain things that you don't do on Sabbath because you choose to draw closer to God in a very special way.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of very special time with God. But I think there's probably different interpretations and different situations of honoring God on that day. Sabina.
Pastor Derek, I'm also thinking of something as to how to help people to enjoy. And here's the thing. When I came to our church, I was already a Bible believer, a Jesus follower. So I had already a relationship with God. And having the privilege of then now looking at this as a special day where I could spend my full day, you know, communing with my brothers and sisters, doing good, reading my Bible, spending time with prayer, for me was no difficult. It was actually a delight. So I think that to help people actually enjoy the Sabbath, you first need to help them enjoy their relationship with God. Mm. You know, if you don't lead them to Christ and help them to really truly see who is the Lord of the Sabbath, there is no point of just trying to help them to have a fun day, which will be nice as well. But if they cannot enjoy the Lord of the Sabbath, it doesn't make sense for them. Mm. You know, I've met people from other church denominations who are true loving Christians that I'm sure that if you bring them into a full day of spending time with Jesus, doing evangelistic work, fellowship with other brothers and sisters, they will enjoy it so much because they love Jesus already. So I think that's part also of the answer.
How Jesus,
to help people with delight on it. That's
all right. Yeah. Jesus wants us to experience Sabbath as a time of blessing, but He also went out of His way to say the Sabbath is also a time for healing. Now, that could be physical healing, it could be emotional healing, could be relational healing within a family, right? Lots of healing. But let's look at a couple of examples of healing on the Sabbath. Luke 13. Jason, could you read for us verses 10 through 17?
I've got the New King James Version here. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God.
Praise God.
But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
If there was ever a time to experience healing, Sabbath.
Yes. Yes.
That's what Jesus says, right? The Sabbath is a time to be made whole.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, Adam and Eve didn't need it on their first Sabbath. That's right. But pretty soon they did. They needed that wholeness that would come.
Yes.
Emotionally, spiritually.
Right.
Stephanie.
It just seemed to pop out at me on the last verse there. It said that all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things. It was almost as if they were healed of this religious bondage and there was freedom. Thank you.
It's that breakthrough you were talking about earlier, where I get past it as an obligation or burden and say it's a blessing and a time of healing. And I like that they were healed in that experience too, that they rejoiced in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's look at one other story in Matthew chapter 12, which really emphasizes the Sabbath as a time of healing. Gladys, if you could read Matthew 12, verses 9 through 13.
Sure. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, "Then Jesus went over to their synagogue, where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, 'Does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath?' They were hoping he would say yes, so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, if you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, 'Hold out your hand.' So the man held out his hand, and he was restored, just like the other one."
Now, verse 14, I'm going to ask you to read in just a minute. Back to this other story. What would the most appropriate response of the crowd be to seeing this man with the withered hand healed?
Praise the Lord.
Praise God, and have this breakthrough. Now I see that Sabbath is a time of blessing and healing, right?
Yes.
That's what we would hope. But Gladys, read on in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 12. What do you see there?
It says, "Then the Pharisees call a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus."
Wow.
Pedro, they ought to call a meeting to say, "We need to repent and recognize him as our Messiah." What is going on in their minds that they would call a meeting and say, "We need to decide, plot to kill him"?
But they have selfishness on their heart. They're trying to follow a rite instead of trying to have a relationship with God. When you look into the Sabbath, God wants to have a relationship with us. And if we see the Sabbath as something we have to do because it says on the law, we're not with delight. Like we mentioned before, the Sabbath is a day to spend time with Jesus, to remind her that he's our Savior. And if we think, oh, this is what to do and not to do, we're not going to enjoy.
And by the way, the incarnate Son of God, Jesus, was also our Creator, the Word who was made flesh. By him all things were made, right? So if anyone wanted us to experience Sabbath fully, it's Jesus, right, Sabina?
And also I'm thinking that even going back to the first question that you made to us, there was this about the significance of the Sabbath being the first day. I was wondering here, I was considering that, you know, the fact that God had created everything and just the last act before Sabbath was the creation of human beings to have done this time together with him means so much about, speaks so much about grace and about God's desire to gift us with blessings. So even the fact that these people cannot understand that indicates to me that they couldn't really truly understand the meaning of the Sabbath fully.
Right.
That they were not understanding that it was about God's grace and about God's desire to gift us, but instead they were trying to do as something, oh, that's my work and not God's work. And it was about God's work to serve us even and to have us delight with him. So, this is very sad.
So when did you have that breakthrough personally that instead of going, that's not right, you shouldn't do that, there's got to do this, because that was in my list. to going, praise God for an understanding of what God's doing, blessing and healing. When did you have a breakthrough? Pedro?
Well, I look into my life, coming to believe in the Sabbath, learning. I was not raised in the house that was part of my life. And coming to the realization. It came through time. It's not something that all of a sudden says, okay, now I got it. No, it was a process. And what made it easy, that process, was the relationship I had with the community of faith that invite me into their homes so I can experience at firsthand into their lives.
Mm. And how old were you when that journey was going on?
I was 9 years old.
9 years old? Wow. Sabina, you were a teenager.
Actually,
you were older.
I was older. Exactly.
You were older. So here's a 9 year old, and you were starting to experience Sabbath that you'd never known before. Mm-hmm. He was smiling while he was telling that story. What, as you look back, what did the community do well in helping you? We're talking about learning to experience, not just know about, but experience Sabbath. What did the community do well?
Well, I see that Stephanie mentioned earlier, it was the friendship. I went to the house of my friends, and they showed me what to do. They didn't tell me this is to do or not to do. They never said what not to do. We just experienced what's the blessing of the Sabbath. So we go out, and it's like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And they invite me in to participate. And it was nothing, a list of things of what can do or cannot do. And they were not mentioned, this is not supposed to be done now. Or they will allow me to experience and to learn for myself. And they respect my growth. And also show me through their example how to live it.
Mm. Just out of interest, did your family come on this journey with you? Or were you just a little fearless 9 year old saying, I want to follow, I've learned the truth of God, I want to follow His truth? Yeah.
I can say both. Well, my mom was a seeker, and
okay.
She had been to many, many churches, and she started studying the Bible, and she says, I'm studying the Bible, I'm going to this church, and the first time she mentioned to me, she's like, well, we're going on Saturday, and I says, okay, well, church, you know, we go any day, and I went, and we started experiences. My brothers were there, we built friendship with different age groups. And there was an elder of the church who has a son who was my age, and he invited me into his home, and I made friends with his son, and that relationship developed through the engagement not only with my family but on a personal level to my life, and the elder and his kid.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sabina, I see you smiling as you're listening to Pedro's story. You're connecting some with your story, or just excited that he found out when he was only 9 and didn't have to wait so much longer to learn about the blessing of Sabbath?
I think it's twofold. I'm happy for him, and just listening also to his story, how his mom was coming from, you know, another religion, and this was, I feel happy for him as a child to have this privilege. And at the same time, I was thinking how the Sabbath was a healing to me as well, like how God used the Sabbath to heal me in some ways. I started keeping the Sabbath. I was already doing my master's, and it was a time in my life I was very busy because my school was super demanding, very competitive, and I used to go to church every Sunday, and I had my devotional and everything, but I felt like I was just trying to start getting dry on my walk with God, just because my routine in the school was so demanding. I would be doing works for the school till, you know, midnight and everything. And I noted that as I decided, the moment that I learned about the Sabbath, and as I decided to stop that one day, to give it all to God and to focus, you know, in spending time in prayer and with my fellow brothers and sisters, it was so invigorating to me. Mm-hmm. Even though I still had so much work from the masters to do, it gave me a relief and a sense of like, okay, I don't need to worry. God is going to provide for me. He will help me to be better, more effective in the other days of the week, mm-hmm. so that I can actually have the time with Him that I was eager to have and that I was not being able to organize because of so many other tasks that I had. So I was just also thinking about how it was a healing process in my life.
For you.
Exactly, yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. By the way, for those who may be watching from other parts of the world, when you talk about master's, that's graduate degree,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So you'd finished your undergraduate degree. You were in a graduate school. It was really intense.
Exactly.
But the Sabbath came as a blessing.
Yes.
And that is a beautiful sequel to the whole experience, not only of a time of blessing and a time of healing, but a time of fellowship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I found out about this. I'll just go off by myself and be blessed. And be healed. Well, there may be times to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But let's see about the Sabbath also. To experience Sabbath as a time of fellowship. Luke 4 and verse 16. And Stephanie, do you have that? Luke 4, verse 16. Jesus could have said, I am so busy in doing ministry, I'm just going to be by myself on Sabbath. He was the Lord of the Sabbath. What does he do in Luke 4, verse 16?
The New King James says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
Why did he do that? What do you think? Was it to hoping God the Father would love him if he obeyed certain regulations? Why did Jesus go there each week to the synagogue, Pedro?
Well, the text says that it was his custom. He was brought up that way. It was something that he enjoyed doing as his regular time with God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see Jesus, he's willing to do God's will. He's, you know, he came to do the will of the Father. Yes. And we see that he's following that relationship. Not only by himself, but he wants to share that wonderful relationship he has with the Father.
When you said it was his custom, there were other traditions that he said, you keep the traditions of men as the commandments of God, right? In vain you worship me, keeping for doctrines the commandments of men. So he threw out a lot of man-made traditions. Yeah. Jason?
So yes, it was his custom, and it was also the custom of the people he was with. And so he was there not just because it was his custom, but that was the way he could reach and interact with those who he was a part of, his community. And so going there was his way of fellowship, of relationship. And it just so happened that the custom matched what he was called to do by his Heavenly Father there.
Mm. All right. So that was a place he could share, Stephanie?
Well, I wonder if it was not just an external custom, but it was his own personal daily commitment that he spent time with his Father, and then once a week he came together with other fellow believers and he spent time with them. And there's that strength in being with fellow believers to worship together.
Let's go to the New Testament and see how the early Christians saw the Sabbath not only as a time of blessing and healing, that's wonderful, but a time to gather together in fellowship. Acts chapter 13. Gladys, if you could read verses 13 through 15, and then Sabine, if you could read at the end of the chapter, verses 42 to 44. Let's hear what Dr. Luke records in the book of Acts.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Luke chapter 13, 13 to 15. Paul and his companions then left Paphos by ship for Pamphylia, landing at the port town of Perga. Then John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. But Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue for the services.
So you could say, like Jason, well, there were people there, so they went there. But I think they also went there because it was Sabbath. Mm-hmm. They were fellowshipping with other believers and wanting to share with these God-fearing people some more truth about Messiah.
Yeah.
Sabina, same chapter, Acts 13, verses 42 to 44.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New International Version, and it says, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord.
Wow. Now, back to you talked about everyday experience, Stephanie. Were they talking about Jesus during the week too?
I'm sure.
Absolutely they were, right? They're always talking about him. Mm-hmm. But this is special time to gather for fellowship and to worship together.
Yeah.
Acts 17, Pedro, if you could read verses 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts 17, verses 1 through 4. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scripture, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ has to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Christ who I preach to you is the Christ." Mm. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, now a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas.
And nowhere does it say, and then they canceled Sabbath, because Sabbath was a time of blessing and healing given at creation. We're told to remember it in the commandments, but break away from certainly Sabbath that doesn't include Jesus at the center.
That's right.
Because we're followers of Jesus. Yeah. Break away from that legalistic attitude that we earn God's love or favor, but see it as a time to, what did they do again? Praise God, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To praise God and rejoice in the Lord. One last text from the book of Acts chapter 16, because sometimes there were no buildings where they could gather to worship. But Jason, in Acts 16, verses 13 and 14, this is what we would call, I suppose, an outdoor worship service.
I've got the New King James Version here, Acts 16, verses 13 and 14. "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul."
If you read on in the chapter, a house church actually starts in her house. Because the Sabbath is not only a time of blessing and a time of healing, it's a time of fellowship.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're gathering together. Mm-hmm. You may not have a big church building. People say, well, can you really experience God without the big church building? And the answer is?
Yes.
Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's this sense of fellowship. Stephanie, you want to respond to the story?
Well, I was just thinking about Pedro's experience. The family that brought him in there, they were also teaching you about who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. Really, it wasn't just the Sabbath, but they were connecting you with Jesus and that whole experience of fellowship with each other. And I just thought that was the family that did that is such an example for all of us that we could follow.
Leading by their example.
Yes.
Sabina.
And I'm also thinking, Pastor Derek, that nowadays, you know, people are so distant from each other, even in their own families. So in certain way, a time of fellowship also equals a time of blessing and a time of healing for the families, for the church in itself. Because if you just let things happen the way they are happening and people are not going to meet ever or just going to talk quickly on the phone, there is no depth in a relationship. So I think that we can equate also the fellowship with blessing and healing.
It's all tied together.
Yeah.
You might come to the conclusion, we really need this day that God blessed.
Amen.
And set aside. It's a time for blessing, healing, and fellowship. Share a time when you experienced some wonderful fellowship on a Sabbath day. Maybe something unusual, where you said, wow, that was such a blessing to gather in worship with God's people. Anyone have a story you'd like to share? Anybody? Yes, Pedro?
Well, I can say this past Sabbath was a great time. You know, we went to church, we fellowship with our friends. Afterwards, we had lunch together, and we went to a walk in the park. You know, you look into the possibilities of creating a space. You know, before, I thought I need things to be happy. You know, I was looking forward to, you know, some, we all probably had experience when young, we want to finish the Sabbath so we can go play video game or do some things that we're not supposed to do on Sabbath. But now I look forward to the Sabbath because I can spend time with people that cares for me and I can care for them and share that love and relationship. And most importantly, knowing that Jesus is with us. And you can share, you know, this past Sabbath, we're just walking on the park. And we met some friends, we socially distantly together, and we start talking and getting together, get to know each other a little more on the middle of the park.
You know, what I like about Pedro's testimony, it just happened last week. It's not like, well, 17 years ago, because God knows we need that time of Amen. Blessing, healing, and fellowship. Mm-hmm. Sabina, can you think of a time that was just a special Sabbath of fellowship?
I was just going to say that I do have various special days that I've experienced since I started keeping the Sabbath, you know, with my church family, mm-hmm. people inviting me to their homes and having delicious meals and walking in parks and going out. But for me, I think that it's just like the combination of actually having the Sabbath now in my life is the greatest, like the best Sabbath, if I can say that. I don't know if it comes across clear, but I think that what is the greatest joy of it all is the fact that I have it every week, and it's my favorite day, and I have many special memories, and it's hard for me to pick just one, but just having it as a habit is wonderful.
You know, when we are experiencing the Sabbath as God intended, as Jesus, Son of God, Creator and Jesus Redeemer intended, just listening to these testimonies, it's contagious. Yeah, people say, that sounds awesome.
Yes,
I want to experience the Sabbath the way that God intends and to experience the joy that you're experiencing. Yeah. Maybe you're watching and you're saying, wow, that's a revolutionary. That's a whole new way of looking at things. Instead of complaining, we're praising God and saying, thank you, God, for this special day that you've given, time of blessing, healing, and fellowship. And friends, there are people who need to know that, not as a burden for them, but as a breakthrough, as a time to deepen their relationship with the Savior. Mm-hmm. Let's pray that we can experience the Sabbath as God intended and also share that blessing with those around us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you continue to lead us on a journey. We may have had limited understanding, but you broaden our horizon to understand Sabbath as a time of blessing and healing and fellowship with you and with each other. Oh, Lord, thank you that you are Lord of the Sabbath for wanting a close, intimate relationship with us, not just for now, but for eternity. We bless you and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, if this study's been a breakthrough to you, I'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. But don't keep the good news to yourself. God's got a special day waiting for you just around the corner. Be blessed and be a blessing to those around you.